Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. It is 2025. Insert the woo!
Yay.
Happy New Year, and it's our first podcast of 2025, and we have a special treat today. I am joined by none other than Pastor Paul, Pastor Joel. Again, my name is Antonio, and we are so grateful that you are here on the Rock Life Podcast. Here at the Rock Life Podcast, we get to rewind our last message. But actually, in this week's episode, what we're going to be doing is just kicking off the new year. As you know, it has been a festive and full season here at the Rock Church. And now we are just starting the year. So happy new year, guys.
Happy new year.
How was everyone's year end and Christmas and all New Year's Eve festivities?
It has been a busy year.
It has been.
So, I mean, winding the year down was kind of nice, taking a few days off and spending time with the family, which is always good,
So, we've been talking in the episode.
For the record, Joel got me nothing.
For the record, Pastor Paul has a pattern of giving nothing.
And then, Pastor Paul, you had a birthday.
I did turn 50, 5-0, the big 5-0, and... yeah, no, I'm excited. Sometimes when you're looking at a midlife kind of deal, but yeah. God has been so good. There's nothing to complain about, man. Yeah.
Wow. Man, that is awesome, Pastor Paul. Now, unique perspective. I've had the privilege of serving under each of these pastors as pastoral assistants. So I was both of you. I came in almost 20 years ago as Pastor Joel's personal assistant.
So my question to Pastor Paul is, has he grown?
Wow. Next podcast.
But we're talking about year end. That's what I was going to say. We spent time talking to Pastor Dan, Pastor Jess, about some of the Christmas traditions. What about you guys? What are some New Year's Eve and Christmas traditions that you guys got to take part in?
You know, it's funny. Coming from a Latino family, growing up in the Dominican Republic, we always did Christmas Eve. We call it Noche Buena.
Yeah.
But here we have to change our traditions. So with our family, we're big on Thanksgiving and a little smaller on Christmas for whatever reason. But our family tradition is breakfast. So we get up, we do breakfast with the kids, watch It's a Wonderful Life, because that's what my father-in-law used to do, so we kind of kept that part of the tradition. And then everybody kind of goes their way, but that's kind of our thing,
That's very cool. Noche Buena is
a Christmas Eve
dinner. Then you guys just do, that's when it'd be the big festivity,
correct? Big dinner and stuff like that. We don't do in Latin America, we don't do gifts exchange that much. Some countries do, like when I lived in Peru,
that's where it all started.
Yes.
Good to know.
I'm Dominican, son. Yes. You don't get anything.
There's a root to the cause.
Yes. Wow.
In some countries like in Peru, they would open one gift at midnight. And so we did that with our kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did something different. I brought in a tradition from different denomination, which is an Advent candles.
Oh, yeah.
And had the family together and explain what the Advent, the Advent calendar is pretty famous. It's a calendar that tracks from the 1st of December all the way to Christmas. And every day there's a devotion, every day there's an explanation. Well, the Advent candles, there's four candles. They're symbolic and there's meanings to the candles. So you light them, you explain what the meaning of the candle is, faith, hope, and love, and explain to the family. So that's what I did. Very so cool. I think it's a tradition I want to keep.
Yeah.
So because
it's a teaching moment.
Had the grandkids involved and been able to share the gospel in a different type of manner with the, because there's four candles. And four explanations of what the meaning of Christ's birth. So I think I want to keep that tradition.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I know New Year's Day is one of our traditions is, we do our New Year's Eve at home, but then on New Year's Day, we usually go to my parents' house, and then we have buñuelos, which I always send Pastor Paul a picture every year of the stack of buñuelos. Buñuelos is like kind of like a fried tortilla with cinnamon and sugar on it, and it is.
And I've tried your mom's.
Yeah, my mom makes delicious. Bambuelos, and so
too bad Pastor Paul never gets.
Yes, yes.
He gets a picture.
He gets pictures.
Yes, I can smell the picture.
So that's always fun. But we are in the new year, and I think some of the practical walkaways that we want to do, or this conversation today for those listening and watching, is we want to walk through, again, asking you guys as pastors, what are some, you know, everyone makes, what are they called? Resolutions and goes through goals, and maybe you do calendars. But how do you practically introduce a new discipline or a new habit in a way? Again, some of it, it might be a physical, financial, or a spiritual discipline. How do you introduce that into your life, right? You know, I mean, again, you can write big goals, but now walking it out, what does that look like? Maybe what are some habits or disciplines that you've introduced into your life that you've even failed at, and some that you've succeeded at?
So good. I'll let Joel is a lot more disciplined than me, so I'll let him talk about it later. But I think for me, I have to say that one of the things I tend to do, since my birth is at the end of the year and that carries on to the new year, is usually I would write down not just goals, but sort of meditate on what the year has been.
That's good.
And that kind of sets a tone for I'm looking forward to the following year. And that's been something I've been doing for years now. I would journal either on my birthday or towards the end of the year, like, hey, what is the year? What were the challenges? What things am I looking at? And I think with goal setting, like, you know, everyone who's done goal setting is frustrating when you miss your goal set, when you, and so you become discouraged. What I've done in the last few years is I've kind of set probably lesser goals. Mm-hmm. I used to do, you know, I'm going to do this and that. What I'm realizing is it's better to hone down on a few things and put some energy behind that, and maybe you'll conquer a few. I know a lot of people say, well, do a bunch and then you'll get some of it. Man, yeah, you can do that. But if you're in some of them, is actually good. Like, one of the things I just felt, God wanted me to go back and study a little more theology, and so I enrolled in the school program that they had. It's been really challenging, to be honest with you, an online program, but it's been really good. And there was times where I wanted to, like, okay, I'm going to postpone this, but I just feel the Lord said, hey, stick with it. This is what I'm calling you to do. Yeah. And it's been really good, expanding my knowledge of the Bible, growing in different things. If I was, you know, if I'm going to do this as a pastor, if this is my calling, then it is good to be knowledgeable of what I'm doing. So I would invite people to think through that. Hey, what are some even smaller ones that you can take a bite out of and go there? You could say, I'm going to lose 100 pounds, but maybe just set to 10, give yourself a distance and kind of go for that distance. Because lofty, it's great to have. You have to have big ones and small ones, but here's how I would see with goals is smaller victories allowed you to continue on to the big ones. Because if you don't get the big one, you know, a lot of times we get our inspirations from sports. So these guys aim for championship, but before they got to the championship, they have to build a roster. And from the roster, they went to practices. Then you have to play. Then you had the in tournament. And so every little victory along the lines is what leads to the championship. I always see the same in life, you know?
I tend to agree. I think now a season of my life and my health journey, I say it this way. The Lord got me healthy to a place to where I'm healed. It's up to me to stay healthy. So for me, I don't set goals, which surprisingly, I don't set goals.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like I don't weigh myself. I don't do a lot of things that people do. Mm-hmm. Not because I don't want to face reality. It's just I look at this. If I see a problem or a dilemma that I need to change, I need to stop making excuses and change it. So it's taking a baby step towards that change, an incremental step. I don't care if it's reading more, studying more, exercise, walking. Everything starts with the first step.
That's good.
And the discouragement will come is when you don't succeed at whatever mindset you believe you need to be at. And here's my question to everybody. Who set that goal?
Right.
So for me, it starts with prayer. You're asking God, okay, God, help me. I need to save more money, or I need to discipline myself at the gym. I need to exercise a little bit more or eat right. So who's setting these goals for you? Mm-hmm. It's ultimately it's you.
Yeah.
you're the deciding factor. You can make every excuse you want about, you know, my family eats unhealthy. I open up the refrigerator and look, there's nothing but unhealthy food here. Or you could decide to say, you know what, I'm going to start looking at different options and making a concerted effort to push myself to do these things and taking baby steps. Right. So that's why I don't goal set, because in this journey of walking, you know, my wife thinks I'm now an egomaniac because I talk about it so much.
It's kind of like, you know, those people who CrossFit. Everyone knows you CrossFit. Well, now everyone knows Pastor
Or Joe's vegans.
Or vegans. Yes. Right? Like, oh, I'm a vegan.
Yeah, but for me, I just decided, like, okay, I don't want to be in a position to where I end up back in the hospital.
Right.
Because of my health concerns.
Yeah.
And if you monitor your diet, if you monitor your exercise, if you sleep regularly, you're going to be healthy.
Yeah.
And you don't need extra medications. But I'm not saying not to go to the doctor if you're something's wrong with you. I'm saying to approach it in a different way. If God is saying, hey, I want you to exercise, then don't fight him. Mm-hmm. Take incremental steps. And it could be, hey, I'm going to exercise for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And within a month's time, it's going to be 2 hours or less.
Yeah.
You know, but you set the standard. Just don't make excuses of why you're not doing it. Right. And if we could clear those excuses out of the way, because here's my question to those that are on this podcast. What excuses have you made in last year that you're going to make this year? And those excuses had to now change to something that's more productive, substantial, or something that God is wanting you to do.
Yeah.
And it's really that simple, but really hard, because the word discipline, that's a hard word for me.
Correct.
I'm not disciplined. I don't, I can't read writes or read. So I'm not disciplined to read. Well, you can try.
Yeah.
You could listen to audiobooks. There's all kinds of options.
Well, I find those are all barrier words against our flesh.
Right.
Right. Because some of these words are just barriers against our natural flesh. Something like discipline, because then we can say, oh, I'm not disciplined. And then it's a scapegoat.
Right.
Oh, habits. I didn't read Atomic Habits. You know, habits. Right. I can't do that. So what I've found as I've gotten older, it's been easier to become honest with myself. Hmm. Right? I want to be honest with myself. And I know both of you guys gave great examples. And I think of what I had to do in any kind of habit or thing that I want to introduce. I have to be honest with myself about, oh, I can quickly make an excuse. So what I would have to do, I stopped trying to make goals around things that I couldn't. I'm about to say that I couldn't control. It makes me sound like. But in other words, it helps my excuses, right? Because if there's a financial goal, well, I'm married, I have a wife, there's two people. I already know going into it, if I set a goal here, I have a quick excuse. Well, my wife.
Gotcha.
Right. So my schedule. This is like, okay. Well, I have children and a family. Like, so of course we couldn't do that because the kid got sick or because of this or they had an activity. So what I try to do is kind of like doing some of these little things. Whereas if I'm honest with myself, I have to pick something where no one else can block it. So, for example, because Pastor Joel talked about walking a lot.
Right.
Like, oh, I can do that. Well, so what is this going to look like? When am I going to do this? I have to pick a time and something that no one else can stop. So I know I have to wake up early. And then there's no excuse. It's not like, oh, I had to come and do this or the right. kids required this or my wife. Now it's just up to me. I have to wake up earlier and I go out and do it.
Yeah.
But if it was in the middle of the day or on a weekend, well then, oh, there's easy excuses why I couldn't introduce this thing. But waking up early is up to me. If I don't wake up early, it's not my wife's fault. It's not the kid's fault. If I didn't get out and do it, it's only because of something I chose to do. And that helps those little wins.
And when you don't do it, don't beat yourself up.
Right.
Just tomorrow's a new day and try a little bit harder or take a baby step towards, hey, I'm going to walk around the block and that's going to be okay with me. I'm going to take the dog for a walk. Just do something instead of just sit there and do nothing. I mean, look at this scripture. And I love it. It's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let's not weary in doing good, for in the proper time you'll reap a harvest. So here's the Bible. Here's Paul saying, hey, don't stop doing good, because there's a timing and there's a fruit to this. This harvest time is coming, but you can't stop.
Yep.
See, when we stop, we become unmotivated. When we stop, we kind of beat ourselves up and take step backs. When we stop, then we'll never see the harvest. So Paul's encouraging, don't give up. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Please keep on going. And that's kind of what's in me now. Yeah. I'm not going to stop. I might not walk as far, but I'm not going to stop. Yeah. I'm not going to let nothing stop me. I made a decision over the holidays to walk a little bit further. And my wife says, hey, babe, you're walking too much. For that comment, I'm going to walk double. So there's something now in me that's not going to, I'm letting myself stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Because in due season, I'll have a fruit to that payoff. But right now, I don't see it. Mm. But eventually, like Paul's telling the Galatians, you'll see it if you don't stop. It says this. It says, this verse can remind us that consistent effort can pay off with motivation to keep you moving forward.
Right.
So that's the goal. That's Christ's goal in you. Keep on growing. Yeah. Keep on learning. Don't stop growing. Because somebody said it this way. I think it was Rick Warren. If you stop growing, you die.
Yeah.
So I don't want to die. So I'm going to keep on growing. I don't want to die spiritually. I don't want to die physically. I don't. I believe God has more for us to do. But if I don't have the energy, the strength to do it, then I have to kind of recalibrate myself and make some decisions. And that's the big deal. When are you going to make this decision to make the choice to change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or are you going to continue to make excuses?
You know, I think the length of the journey, it's a lot of times where the frustration can come. You take anything and it feels really long, really far away. And I think people tend to lose heart over the length of the journey. And that's why, like Joseline, I encourage Antonio, small victories along the way. Because if I put it all in a length, it just feels so far.
Yeah.
And the second thing I know it's for me, at least, one of the triggers is, which I think is most human, is the fear of failure. Mm-hmm. So the idea that if I embark on this thing, this happens in prayer. Man, I prayed so much and I didn't get what I wanted. So now I'm lumping in my prayer life with the apparent unanswered prayer that I have. Mm-hmm. And so everything becomes lumped in that category. And I think separating those things, okay, I didn't get this prayer, but that doesn't mean God doesn't answer prayers. Yeah. Having to unpack those two thoughts that they could exist in the same realm, then that helps you kind of balance things out instead of saying, well, I put it all in one box, which is God doesn't answer prayers.
Yeah.
And I think people tend to do that is I will never do this, so I put it all in one box. Well, you can do one angle of something, but not necessarily the angle of everything, you know?
Well, so then where do you go with disappointment or a hiccup in the road? Or to keep in the analogy of walking, you know, you have an injury.
Yeah.
God forbid you get an injury. Now you couldn't walk. And now all your momentum was based on this, oh, man, I'm walking every day, my health. So now you have a disappointment or a hiccup in the road. How do you over? I mean, everyone here has had disappointments in your life.
Correct.
or hiccups even in your walk with the Lord, if we want to take it on a spiritual side. Not that health isn't spiritual.
Well,
I know that it is.
When it comes to exercise, you don't have to actually walk to exercise. You could sit on the couch and exercise.
So then now what's the parallel spiritually, right? In terms of overcoming discipline, I think you just said it. If our discipline thinks it was like, oh, it's in going to church or it's in receiving answers to prayer.
Right.
Now, what's the kind of...
Again, it's the onus is not on God. It's on us. Mm. God has no problem.
Right.
We're the ones with issues and problems. So to overcome those problems, he gives us the grace to do it. If we have that grace and the ability, we have to make a defining choice within us. Do we want to stay the same or do we want to be whatever it is, healthier, more knowledgeable of the Bible, friendlier, kinder, whatever it is. Pick any topic. So approach this year not with a big discouragement of 2024 failures.
Yeah.
Approach this year by saying, hey, last year I struggled in this area, but this year's going to be a better year. You have to tell yourself it's going to get better.
Yeah.
I'm going to be better. Mm. My family's going to get healthier. My family's going to grow. I'm going to believe for the best. I really believe that. You know, there's something that I carried over from this last year inside of me. And it was this phrase that God gave me. There's more. There's more to life. There's more to blessing. There's more provision. I have more opportunity. Man, God's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to come to this awareness that he does have more for me. And I will have more. My land will be plentiful. My children will be blessed. And that's how you have to approach this coming year. Not the failures of the past, but perspective. Here's the perspective. Okay, it didn't work out. But this year's a new year, and I'm approaching this year with that kind of energy and motivation.
Yeah, you know, I went through that this year. So one of the things that I don't enjoy, when I was younger, I enjoyed running. And then, you know, it's really difficult in the body when you're heavier. It's a little tougher. But I do enjoy lifting weights. So I hurt my shoulder this year. And that was a bummer because I had to go to PT. I had to, you know, here you are lifting some amount of weight, and now you're struggling with, you know, a 10-pound dumbbell, and you feel stupid. Yeah, like, I'm an enormous guy lifting, you know, crying with 10 pounds. So it was really hard. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But what you guys are saying is exactly right, which is I'm not unable to do what I used to do, but that doesn't mean I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And what That's people right. do is they That's just, really because they couldn't do the ultimate, then they don't do anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, you know, splitting these things around is important in anything you do.
Yeah.
So my wife and I have an older car, 10 years old, but it was like the limited edition. And so the car has everything, right? Yeah. But it's 10 years old. So we needed to buy a new car. We kept that one. We still have that one. So we go to buy a car. I was like, man, I love all the bells and whistles. But for me to get a limited edition now, I'm 20, it was going to be an enormous amount of money.
Right.
So I was like, well, I need a car and I needed to do this. So I'll take a different version within my realm that I can pay and do. I'm not saying you shouldn't believe for those things. What I'm saying is what we tend to do is if I cannot buy the ultimate.
That's
and so good. People are literally going into debt, making things in their life, hurting themselves in order to get the ultimate package.
Right.
And what I'm saying is sometimes there are years where the ultimate doesn't come, but you should get something and continue to move forward.
I was I'm into like renovation shows and stuff like that. And I was just listening to one of these designers talk about what happens is people think that it's not your dream home if it doesn't have everything that you've seen.
Right.
So they won't start because, oh, I don't have the money to do that. Whereas opposed to a lot of people, you start and you slowly renovate. And I think I've seen this. My parents have been in their home 30 plus years.
Wow.
And I've seen little projects they've done. And they had, and like, so you look at it now, like, oh my gosh. And you assume that they just had all the money up front to add the different things
like
that they've done. And like, you just, oh, I didn't move in until it was perfect.
Right.
And I think many times we do that in our life. We're not going to start our walk with God. We're not going to start our relationships until it can look like it's been on a TV show. TV shows do that. You have the money, they come in, and it's turnkey.
Correct.
Whereas many people, they buy the house slowly by slowly, project by project, tax return by tax return. Like, oh, this year with our tax return, we're going to do this. And the next year, we're going to save up and do that. And it's that long haul reno project.
Those shows are brutal because the guy's always like, hey, what do you do for I'm a lizard trainer. And my budget is $1 million. Like, the heck? What is happening here?
So here's my question. Who sets those parameters?
That's good.
True.
Who sets those parameters? Is it others? Is it the television show?
Right.
Or is it us? Can we live with simple things?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in other words, those listening and us here in the room today, the things that we want in our life, our goals, who's even setting those?
Correct.
Right? What determined that that's what we want to do? Like, I know in this next year, I want to be closer to God.
Yeah.
So what I can do, though, is like, oh, Pastor Poe, he does this amount of reading. And this pastor or this spiritual leader, they read this much. Or they pray. Dr. Kobernick prays for 3 hours a day.
Right.
And so now I'm setting my goals based on these things that are not maybe realistic to
Paul said it in one of my last messages. He said it in 2 Corinthians 8, where he says, you give yourself to God first.
That's good.
Then move forward towards kingdom and the body of Christ, then he will give you the ability to do.
Yeah.
So it's putting things in perspective. For me, it's always, okay, God, what do you need from me? And okay, so then I'm hearing what you want me to do. Okay, then give me the grace to move towards that end, whatever that is. If it's upgrading my house or whatever, if that's what you want from me, then that's a goal that you're setting for me or something that you feel I need, then I'll go after it. But I'm not going to go chasing after other people's perspective of things. And that's the problem with our social media outlets and expectations of others, because those narratives are usually wrong.
Right.
They don't fit the shoe.
Right.
My parents grew up very simple life and they were happy people. So they didn't have all the complexity of having all the stuff, but they were okay with the simplicity of life.
Right.
And as I get older, I'm okay with just family around. Do I need anything? No, I need my family around.
Yeah.
I need my grandkids around. I'm valuing the things that are purposeful and meaningful and not those things that don't really matter in the very end.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, if you ask, you know, an elder, your parents, like what they want for, it's just like, I just want you guys to be here. Like, you know, like,
correct.
Because it becomes less about needs in terms of like, I can go buy myself that. I just want to be with you.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, but I think we do that with God. God, what do I need to go bring you? What do I need to go do? How much time do I need to do?
That's right.
It's like, correct. I just want to be with you.
You know, I heard an interview by Jack Hafer. And for those younger audiences, Jack Hafer, you can look it up. An amazing man of God passed. He's with the Lord now. And Jack Hafer was asked, because he had one of the largest churches in Southern California and even in the United States, tremendous influential theologian, charismatic theologian, Foursquare. And he was asked by a person, hey, what do I need to do kind of what to get to where you're at? And the way he broke the question, because he was such a profound thinker, he said, what you're really asking me is how many hours do I need to pray? How many books do I need to read?
Yes.
What are the things to get there? And he said, put that aside. The idea is you want to have a relationship with God. You want to have Bible reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can grow in length and time and depth. But what people want is give me a formula to get to this Christian success arena or level.
Right.
And there's no such thing. God has a different path with everyone. The path that everyone has taken is they've all had a relationship with God. And what Pastor Joel just said, they've all listened to God.
Right.
My wife and I try to be extremely practical in those things. Even at the beginning of the year, Lord, where do you want our money? Do you want us to increase our giving? That's a question we ask the Lord. Do you want us to increase our giving? So it's not like we remain standard and flat throughout the years. And there might be something God wants you to give your money to. Hey, Lord, should we buy XYZ house, move? What do you want from us?
Yeah.
Even if this is the car for us, can we present that to you? So I think what a lot of people is, we have the help of the Holy Spirit, the helper, but somehow we lean too heavily on our own understanding. And I'm not saying you should cast your brain out because God gave it to us for a reason.
Yeah.
But we should use the information that we have under the guidance of what the Lord can bring.
Yeah.
I think what defined or recalibrated a little bit on my and me is approaching death. I've never done a hospital visit at someone's bedside and said, hey, I regret not making enough money. I regret not putting more in my IRA account. I regret not buying all this property. Usually they're saying, I didn't spend enough time with God or my friends or my family.
Right.
I didn't make enough investment in my grandchildren. They're not looking at the things of the world as some great feat at death's door.
Yeah.
And kind of what God did with inside of me, because I approached death's door, is recalibrated what's of really of value. What does the Bible say that is of value?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say things. It talks about man's heart, talks about man's journey, man's life, man's family, and generation. If I am going after God, then what does God see? And what does God notice? And what does he want from people? Those are the things I have to value, Tony.
Yeah.
And for me to be successful this coming year, I have to value exactly what God values. If it's intentional giving, if it's sowing seed into people, if it's ministering and with my gifting, or if it's going outside my box of comfort zone and starting a new business, if this is what God wants from me, I'm really to do it. I will take risks now that I wouldn't before, because I don't want to live in comfort and safety. I want to live where God wants me. Mm. And if you look at the sojourners of the faith, they all took risks, every one of them. The heroes of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, every one of them made some life-changing decisions that didn't make sense to them but made sense to God. Correct. And that's what we have to go. This expectation of this new year, God, what's making sense to you? Let me go after that. Give me the intentional energy, the focus, the motivation to go after those things, and I will be successful in you. It don't matter who sees it on Instagram or Facebook. It doesn't matter if my family continues to judge me because they think I'm, you know, I'm a God seeker. It really doesn't matter what everybody's looking at, what I'm driving or where I live. That doesn't matter at all. What matters is you, and what matters is where I'm heading in you, and where ultimately that's going to land me. And I want to land in the land of blessing, so I got to do exactly what God wants.
Amen.
Well, I keep thinking, you know, we're talking about some of these things again at the beginning of the year, and whether it's goal setting or some of these things. But what I'm hearing from you guys is, it's sure, write it down, right? Like, write it down. There's scripture that we see about writing it down.
Correct.
But at the same time, I would introduce God into the conversation like, hey, God, this is what I'm bringing to you. But this is where a mistake I think we make. We say, God, I bring it to you, and then I mess up. And then now we equate our failure and our goals to our relationship with God. So now I've failed you, God, to something that I brought to the table anyways.
That is true.
So I like what you said, because it's like, hey, God, do you want us to do this? Right. Whereas if we goal set with God versus goal setting with Instagram. Goal setting with what would look cool or what would sound great on a podcast or what might be good in a, what's it called? A water tank conversation.
Correct,
oh, these were my goals and I'm going to do this. And I'm painting this picture, because in the moment we're now allowing space for shame, whereas God's not asking us to bring shame.
No.
But if I talk to God about my goals and then I bring up, say I write it down and it's big and it looks like it maybe is not going to come through, I believe God's going to bring me peace and comfort about that.
Yeah.
One of the things I know, I've done this with you guys, because you guys are great prayer people. And over the years, you guys have actually done early morning prayers, 5 a.m. prayers here at the church or at different places. And it's been that hour long. And I've gone before and I'm like, man, I didn't spend an hour of great prayer. Maybe in that hour, I was really focused and praying down heaven for about 20 minutes. Well, that was 20 minutes that I got to really spend time with God.
Right.
And I think, again, to encourage our listeners, whether it's going to be goals that we're introducing, new disciplines, new habits, if it's a open-ended conversation, right, don't say, I'm going to revisit this at the end of 2025 and see if I did it. It's like, hey, I'm talking to God throughout.
Yes.
And a great opportunity would be at the front end of this year, where Pastor Dan and Jessica is going to be challenging the church to pray and fast.
Yes.
Correct.
That's the perfect opportunity to set that before the Lord and ask God, okay, God, it's not about my life. It's about what you want. So let me bring my life, my children, my challenges to you. And in this prayer time of prayer and fasting, hey, help me to understand these things to go after what you want me to do.
Yeah. And, you know, you said something so incredible. When it comes to relationship, I remember when we did those morning prayers and those things, there were times where it wasn't intense. But if you, once again, if you see your relationship with God as a relationship, every time my wife and I talk to each other, it's not an intense conversation of any kind, is it? Sometimes you just sit around and just some dumb joke and, you know, drink coffee and, you know, well, with God, if the conversation doesn't end, I believe Pastor Dennis says this many times, the conversation doesn't end on amen when you're done with prayer, then you're having a constant relationship with him. You're not hanging the phone.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to undo that. Maybe that's a challenge for you this year. Like, oh, it's not so much about the 20, 30 minute of prayer.
Right.
Yes, it's a focused prayer, but it's about keeping the intentionality open. When I'm by myself in the car, I like to listen to music, jazz. Joel and I share that common love of jazz. Sometimes I just turn off the radio and just pray from here to the house because I felt moved by God. So I got a 20-minute, 30-minute drive. Okay, so I'm going to do that. So please don't structure yourself. Yeah, maybe that's a goal. It's not transactional.
Yeah, so that for me, that's been a key. So the I got into walking for health reasons, but then I fell in love with walking because I pray and walk.
Yeah.
So when the Bible says he walked with God, literally, I'm walking with God.
Yeah.
I mean, so I've kind of doubled down. I get my prayer time. I get my devotional time, my Bible reading time within that same time. So maximize that time. And my expectation for you is what God blessing for you. He wants the best for you.
Yeah.
He wants more than you think he does.
Yeah.
And he wants for more for you and your family. The motivation this year, I have great, great expectation of what God wants to do because I'm hearing that there's more and there's beautiful things coming. I have to continue to stay in the saddle, sometimes do monotonous things,
right,
but not give up. Mm-hmm. And when I fail, I go back to Jesus. I ask for forgiveness and let's try to I used to say this when I was down and out in my health. Hey, today was a bad day, but tomorrow's going to be better.
Yeah.
You know, that was the hopeful expectation. Well, tomorrow in my health has come.
Right.
It is a better day.
Yes. Right.
You know, 3 years later, it's a better day. Praise God. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I have motivation. I have energy. I didn't used to. And that's the same thing with your spiritual life. So our prayer for all of those that are listening is there's hopeful expectation. There's good things coming your way. I can't wait to see what God does.
Amen. That's
closing
good.
Thought?
Yeah, just I would say, you know, go back to God. Go back to God as you, if you've lost that connection and, you know, using that positive mindset, just stay connected, man. Just stay connected. Every time I talk to people, we tend to pull away because of our own, you know, discouragement with ourselves. Things have come our way, but I've had to ask Jesus, how do you see the situation?
Yeah.
Because God sees it completely different.
That's right.
Now, where I see failure, where I see something, God sees something that he's working on. And, you know, my wife and I went through a couple situations last year. And so we just had to once again say, Jesus, what do you say?
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying, God, from your perspective? Because our earthly one right now looks messed up. So maybe challenge yourself in that. Hey, I'm going to start seeing things just through my lens. This year, I'm going to go ahead and focus on, what does God want from me? How does he see a situation? How does he see my children?
Yeah.
How can I pray for them, encourage them? How, you know, all of that.
That's great.
You will get a different perspective. God always has a different perspective.
That's
it's amazing.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's important. I would just encourage you in that. That will definitely bring a lot of encouragement to your life.
Well, as always, man, we are so grateful you're here. Please like, comment, share, subscribe. Those things, we'd love to hear your questions. But this week's sponsor, actually this the sponsor of this episode is brought to you by the Fast 2025. We want to invite you to join us in prayer and fasting and learning about that and finding out from God what he would have you to do and what have you introduced and what goals, if you were, for lack of a better word, would want to bring into your life. I think, hey, listening to the messages and adding this as a supplement, the podcast, that's going to be something that's going to grow you. And we are grateful to be a part of that. Thank you to our pastors for sitting down.
Absolutely.
2025 is here.
Yes.
Man, let's do it. No more peruanos.
Vamos.
Shut that down. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
God bless you.